This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
JT, I know what's coming, and I am not looking forward to it.
What is coming?
So, my wife has been feeling under the weather for the last day or so. She went to urgent care this morning and found out that she tested negative for the COVID. She tested negative for the flu, which is good. But they told her that she likely has that weird, like, upper respiratory infection thing that's been going around that everybody seems to be getting, but nobody knows what it is exactly.
Yeah, I've had that before, Last year I had it.
So she got some meds and things like that.
Did they test her for mono? Like,
I don't know.
Okay.
She didn't say.
Because I was down bad last year after I went to a Chiefs game, and we thought it was COVID, and then it didn't go away, and they put me in the hospital, and it took them 3 days before they finally tested me for mono. And my mother-in-law was in there, and they go, oh, yeah, you have mono. And my first reaction is to look at her and go, I've never kissed anyone else but your daughter, I swear. Because all I knew about mono was the kissing disease.
All right, Sam Darnold, relax. But no, I'm pretty much coming to grips with the fact that I am going to get sick at some point this week. It will happen. And it's going to suck. I basically feel like a ticking time bomb. One that you cannot defuse. It's going to hit at some point, and I can't wait to be absolutely miserable with sickness. It's going to be great.
I'm telling you, us men, when we get sick, we're babies.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, my wife woke up this morning, and she was still going to go to work.
Where does she work at?
She's a speech pathologist.
Oh, okay.
So she was still going to go to work today, and My mother-in-law and my niece and nephew were planning on coming to our house and staying for a couple of nights. So she woke up this morning, and I could hear the thermometer beeping, like she was taking her temperature. She crawled back into bed, and she told me, they're not coming. I'm running a fever. And I'm like, okay. So does that mean you're not going to work? And she goes, well, I don't have a client until 2:30, an in-person client. So she's like, I can just work from home here for a little bit. And then she texted me a few hours later and was like, yeah, I'm going to go to urgent care. I'm not going to work today. It's like, oh, thank goodness. I'm sorry. If it would have been me, when I get sick, it's like I'm dying. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. My girl had that sickness and I thought the same thing, but I didn't get sick. Wish you the same. Did you say sick or fixed? Sick. My wife is sick.
Oh, yeah, she
is not fixed.
She got fixed.
No, that is not something that I would share on the radio.
This isn't a dog. Oh, yeah, I took my dog to get fixed.
Not at all. I'm pretty sure I I would end up on the news and not in a good way if I said that on the radio. No. Definitely sick. My wife is feeling under the weather right now. Not exactly ideal. But hey, we got some college football playoffs to get to, okay? We have a little quarterfinal matchups this weekend. I shouldn't say this weekend, this week.
I mean, in the next 48 hours.
Literally. You got one game tomorrow, and that is Ohio State against Miami. That is, I believe that's the Cotton Bowl. So that game will be played in Arlington. And then three games on Thursday, New Year's Day. Indiana, Alabama in the Rose Bowl. Oregon, Texas Tech in the Capital One Orange Bowl. As well as Georgia, Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl.
That is correct.
We begin with tomorrow's game, obviously. Ohio State, Miami. Ohio State, 9.5-point favorites. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I look at this total. I look at the over-under of this game. 40.5.
It's 40?
40.5.
Okay.
I think Ohio State wins this football game.
Okay.
But I could see this being like a 17-7 win for Ohio State.
I was thinking 17-10. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then again, I think it's actually going to be 20-10 because I think Ohio State covers.
Oh, I like where your head's at with that one. I did a 4-leg parlay with these games. I just took Ohio State money line.
Right. Did you take all of them money lines?
Yes, all four of the legs are just money line games. Smart. An outright win.
Because then you don't have to stress about, oh my God, they only won by one. Oh yeah. No.
Yeah. If I'm taking like somebody to cover, it's usually like a one-off or maybe a 2-leg parlay. If I'm doing a 4-leg parlay, I'm not taking teams to cover, and you know, I'm not taking teams at +5.5.
I'm just going
to take money line and build my parlay out that way. You're not going to make as much on it if it hits, but it just feels like it feels a little safer. Feels like your odds are a little better, right?
Yeah.
And just from that perspective. So I've got Ohio State money line in this game. I don't disagree with you that I think Ohio State can cover, but I lean towards the under in that game.
I would think the under would hit, yeah.
Miami's defense played so well against A&M last week, and Ohio State, in my opinion, has one of the best defenses in college football, if not the best defense in college football. That's how talented they are.
I would tend to agree.
So I look at this as being a low-scoring game.
But I also didn't think Texas A&M and Miami was going to be a low-scoring game. So
right, but that's what leads me to believe that this one will be, is the way that Miami defensively dominated Texas A&M in that game. You then look at the three games we've got New Year's Day. We begin with Indiana, Alabama, which is actually the late afternoon game, so we won't start there. We'll start with Oregon, Texas Tech. This is the game I'm maybe looking the most forward to. This feels like the most evenly matched game of this college football playoff. Maybe not the biggest opportunity for an upset, because actually the lower seeded team is the favorite. Oregon is actually a 2.5-point favorite in this football game down at the Capital One Orange Bowl in Miami. And I tend to agree with it. I actually think Oregon wins this football game. I've got Oregon money line for this football game. Somebody was giving me grief in the text line earlier because I said something about Oregon having a pretty tough Big Ten schedule. They did. I mean, they beat Penn State when, at the time, the Nittany Lions were the number 3 team in the country. They were a true national championship contender. They still had James Franklin and Drew Aller. And that was the beginning of the collapse for Penn State. They lost to Oregon. They lost to UCLA. They lost to Northwestern. And it was over from James Franklin right there. And it began with that win against that loss to Oregon. They then lose by 10 to Indiana. They beat Iowa. A good Iowa team, an 8-4 Iowa team, you know, a really solid defensive Iowa team on the road in Iowa City in cold weather. It was raining for 4 quarters. They win that game. They took care of business against USC a couple weeks later, beat them by 2 scores. They beat Washington on the road by 2 scores, a Washington team that just blew out Boise State and won 9 games this year. It's a pretty good schedule that Oregon has played. And I'm sorry, the Big Ten is a harder conference than the Big 12. It just is. I love Dante Moore as a player. Not sure how his NFL career is going to play out. But I've got Oregon in this game. I do. And frankly, at -2.5, I would lean towards Oregon to cover at the same time.
Okay.
With an over under of 51.5, I would also lean the over.
I would say over on that.
This feels like a 31-27 sort of game for Oregon to win.
So I did an alt line on this. Got Texas Tech at +7.5.
Mm.
My heart's telling me take Texas Tech. I like Texas Tech a lot, but I do think Oregon's the better team. I have Oregon. I'm going to stick with my heart. I did it earlier. I'm going to do it again. I'm sticking with my heart. Oregon loses. Texas Tech wins. 34-30.
Ooh.
So it hits the over.
I think both teams get up there, huh?
I do. I think a last-second touchdown by Texas Tech wins the game.
All right. Interesting. I mean, we're both sitting here saying probably the over.
I feel like the over is the lock of the game.
Somebody's trying to argue with me about Oregon's schedule.
You're still trying to do this with you?
Yep.
Wow.
Said, oh, so not a good schedule. Yeah, I mean, Oregon was only 14th in the country in strength of schedule for no reason at all, right? That's not a difficult schedule. 14th in the country is such a cakewalk, right? Compared to Texas Tech, who had the 54th ranked strength of schedule in college football? Crickets on that one? Yeah, I figured.
Hey, be nice to Texas Tech. They don't choose their schedule.
That's true, and I like Texas Tech. I think they're a really good football team. I like their running game, the two backs they've got. Quarterback does a great job. They've got weapons on offense.
That linebacker
Their front seven is as elite a unit as there is in college football. Their linebacking core especially is the best set of linebackers in the country. But their secondary, I think, can be susceptible. That's their weakness. And Oregon can exploit that. They've got weapons all over.
I think that's their strength on offense. Oregon's is their weapons on wide receivers.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of a mismatch right there for Texas Tech. Now the question is what can Texas Tech exploit on offense that's the defense of weakness for Oregon? And I would say it's kind of the same thing. It's their secondary for Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Can they get the ball deep down the field if you're Texas Tech? We'll see, because that front seven, I think, can get after Texas Tech. I like Oregon's D-line a lot. I think they can get after the quarterback.
And so, if they can get to the quarterback, it's going to limit your passing attack. I mean, this is an Oregon team that has yielded 21 or more points twice this year. They gave up 27 to USC, and they gave up 34 points to James Madison in that first round game. But that game was so unbelievably already well in hand by that point. I mean, it was 34-6 at halftime. Nobody. I mean, by the time that JMU really started to put the pedal to the metal, it was 48-13. Oregon was leading. And then James Madison scored on their final three drives of the game. So really, they didn't yield 34 points to James Madison. It was all in garbage time. You look at the afternoon game, and this is one that you and I disagree on strongly, JT. Indiana-Alabama.
Yeah.
You've got Indiana winning this game. I have Alabama winning this game. I took Alabama money line in this football game.
Oh, okay.
I like Indiana. I like Kurt Cignetti. I've begun to trust them so much more than I ever did before. But I don't know what it was about Alabama's performance in the final three quarters of that game against Oklahoma. It just felt to me like they found something clicked finally.
Like they finally clicked on offense, like where you trust them now, where they can get a lead and their defense can go.
Like
hunting.
They finally accepted what their identity was, which is Ty Simpson, solid offensive line play, defense making life hard on an offense, and rolling. I mean, it started with that fourth drive of the game. They go down, score a touchdown, they get the pick six, and all of a sudden the game turned on its head. Alabama absolutely took control of the momentum, and they never relinquished it again after that. If they can force Fernando Mendoza into a couple of mistakes, yes, Fernando
Mendoza.
Which
has been hard for teams to do.
That's absolutely true. But in the games that Indiana has had to play teams close, it's because teams have made life hard on Fernando Mendoza. You do that, I feel like this Alabama team has got a serious, serious shot. So much so that, like I said, I put United States American currency on them on the money line to win this game outright against the Hoosiers.
Oh, man. I know. I'm sticking with Indiana. I think it's like a team of destiny in a sense where it just feels like they are on that roll right now. Like, if I had to pick two teams that I feel like are on a destiny run, it would be Texas Tech versus Indiana. But I really think Indiana has the better quarterback, I would say.
Okay.
I think they have the better coach in Cignetti. I do think Alabama has the better defense. So that's going to be the matchup I'm really excited for, is how the defense plays with the mind of Mendoza. And see, like you said, see if they can get him to throw an interception that we're not accustomed to.
Right.
Because you got to play like a ghost kind of defense where you're showing one thing, but you run into a different kind of formation to see what he can do. But I like Indiana. I actually like the under on this one, I believe.
47.5.
47.5. I actually like it, the under. I have Indiana winning 24-20.
That's funny. I have Alabama winning 24-21.
Okay, so we both like the under.
Mm-hmm. And then the last game of the night, 7 o'clock on ESPN, Ole Miss, Georgia. Bulldogs the 3, Rebs the 6 seed in this. They've got Georgia as a 6.5-point favorite in the Sugar Bowl down in New Orleans. Total on this game, over under 55.5. This is the game of these four that I think has the best opportunity to hit the over.
Oh, really?
I do. As much as I like Kirby Smart and that Georgia defense, Ole Miss can score in bunches, and Georgia's offense can get some things done as well. Gunnar Stockton, things have been a little bit more sputtery for him as of late, but I mean, they just put 28 on Alabama's defense in that SEC championship game. I think they can do a little bit better than that. The first time these two teams met, they scored 78 combined points. I'm not saying it will be that high scoring, but I certainly see this being a game that ends somewhere in the 60s in terms of total points scored. I think Georgia wins this game 38-28. Yes, that also means I have Georgia covering.
You said 38-28. That equals 56.
38-28 is 66.
Yep. You know, math is not my cup of tea. It's okay.
30 plus 20, 50. 8 plus 8, 16. 50 plus 16,
so the over
66.
Under is 55 here. I'm looking at it.
Yes.
DraftKings.
Okay. ESPN's got it at 55.5.
55.5, yeah. Remember, ESPN's now sponsored by DraftKings.
So. Correct.
There's that. I indeed do like Georgia to win. I have Georgia winning, though. I think I had it 34-24. So it's 58 for me. That's where I sit. 34-24. I think it's a 10-point win for Georgia. I think they get to the shambles, Trinidad. I think they do. And I think they make him beat them. And that's going to be a problem. I also think you'll see something along the line of, hey, guess what? We've got our calls to LSU. We're waiting on our NIL money down in LSU. And they're already 1 foot out the door, in a sense. So I like Georgia to win 34-24. They do cover, and they do get over the over-under.
Just barely. Right?
Barely.
I like
I'm not that optimistic like you are to get to 60.
I think these are two offenses that can score in bunches. Bunches. Ole Miss's defense has been most susceptible on the ground. Georgia did that the first time around. Gunnar Stockton, this feels like a game where he can kind of get right. Kirby Smart always has his teams playing at their best when it comes playoff time. That has traditionally been the case. I kind of feel that way surrounding this Georgia team again this year. So as we look across the four-game slate, I have got Ohio State, taking on Georgia in one semifinal game next week, and I've got Oregon against Alabama in the other. You, meanwhile, have the top four seeds. You've got Indiana playing Texas Tech and Georgia playing Ohio State.
I have it chalked. I do.
Okay. So that leads to the national championship game, which my prediction, I've got Ohio State playing Oregon in the national championship game. I've got an all Big Ten final. Maybe I'm biased. In fact, I know I am. Meanwhile, JT, you're rocking?
1-3, Indiana and Georgia.
Indiana, Georgia, huh? And who ultimately hoists up that trophy?
Like I said, Indiana. I think Kurt Cignetti gets it. You said your dad will go up in a flame if it happens, but...
He'll need to be sedated,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I have Indiana winning the game.
Wow. Indiana winning a national championship in football.
And having the number one overall draft pick go from their school in the same year would be nuts.
I'm not sure the Big Ten as a whole could handle it. It might like internally combust. Like the whole league would just explode if that happened. I've got Ohio State beating Oregon, and going back to back natties for the Ohio State Buckeyes. I said it at the beginning of the year. I said it in the middle of the year. I said it prior to the Big Ten championship game against Indiana, and I will continue to say it. I think the Buckeyes are the best team in college football. I think the Buckeyes have the best individual player in college football. He goes by the name of Jeremiah Smith.
Jeremiah Smith.
Absolutely.
And he can't even get drafted this year.
True.
Crazy.
True. I think he's going to be the first wide receiver to go number one overall since Keyshawn.
Oh, you think he's going to go number one next year?
I think he'll go number one in 2027. Okay. He's that good a player. I really do believe that.
I truly think Ohio State could do it. And if I had to pick... Which, I know this is a crazy, like, opinion, but if I had to pick either Ohio State to go back-to-back or the Philadelphia Eagles to go back-to-back, I would put $100 down plus 10 on Ohio State to do it because I just don't see the Eagles doing it. But wouldn't it be crazy if both Ohio State and Philadelphia figured a way to go back-to-back this year?
Ugh.
That'd be disgusting, but wouldn't it be wild?
But not a good kind of wild.
So it's kind of funny. We both have a Big Ten team winning the national championship. In your theory... You're guaranteed one because it's Oregon versus Ohio State. But in mine, it's either an SEC or a Big Ten. So
it'd be bad for the SEC if either one of us is right. If the Big Ten wins a third consecutive national championship.
That'd be bad for the SEC.
Especially if it's yours and it's a third different Big Ten team.
Oh,
like, it's one thing if it's like Michigan and Ohio State twice. It's like, okay. But Michigan, then Ohio State, then Indiana in back-to-back-to-back years.
Indiana, who had the most losses? Good Lord.
Yeesh. Somebody in the text line says they have Indiana and Ole Miss in the championship game just because Lane Kiffin is not there anymore. Ole Miss is going to win the national championship just out of spite that Lane Kiffin should have stayed.
If Ole Miss gets to the national championship, I might strip around my apartment complex.
Lose my invitation in the mail. I don't want to see that.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen, so we're good.
Cool. Somebody else said they got picks out. Ohio State beats Miami 24-17. Texas Tech over Oregon 31-21. Wow. You got Red Raiders by two possessions. Indiana Ole Miss 34-20, or Indiana over Alabama 34-21. This person has Ole Miss over Georgia 27-24 on a last second field goal. It's going to be fascinating.
Last second field goal over who?
They had his Ole Miss winning on a last second field goal over Georgia on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
But somebody in the text line said, nice variety in your picks. That's sort of what this field feels like. Like, for the first time, like, I look at and I see a path for any one of these eight teams to win a national championship. It's never, I don't recall a year where it's ever felt like there were even six teams that could realistically win a national championship. I mean, there were times in the four-team college football playoff where you were like, it's going to be Georgia, it's going to be Alabama, or it's going to be Clemson. Whoever that fourth team is, nobody cares. Whether it's Notre Dame or Oklahoma or whoever the hell, they're just going to get blown out. We do not care. It's going to be one of those three teams. Last year, it didn't feel like there were that many teams that were true contenders in the college football playoff. This year feels much different than that. And whether you like it or not, we all collectively can think two things. You know what those two things are, JT?
You're going to tell me.
NIL and the transfer portal.
Well, yeah.
Greater parity in college sports. It's leveled the playing field for everybody. And it's the right thing. Do there need to be guardrails in place? Absolutely.
Guardrails need to be in place, and they also need to fix the calendar for it.
True. And they're trying, right? The transfer portal window now doesn't open until, I believe, January 3rd. Is that correct?
I think it's January 3rd to the 16th.
The 3rd through the 16th. It's a 14-day window now.
Well, that's not 14 days. 3rd through the 16th, 13th, so it would be the 17th?
No, it's 14 days.
Well, I know, I'm saying, but 3rd through the 13th is not 14.
Oh, I thought you said the 16th.
Yeah, no.
Now we're just going to have to Google what the transfer portal window is. Just real quick. It's the 2nd through the 16th.
Off by a day. Anyway. But at least we're not like college basketball. That has bigger problems than what we have over at college football. So we don't have old men coming back from the NFL to play in college.
Yeah. 913-586-7965, our number. Final segment of the show upcoming. We'll get into some what's trending and a little bit more Chiefs conversation to close things out and get you guys set for the New Year's holiday. That's next. Logan Weber and JT Noah filling in for Drew, Alex, and Cody here on Cody and Gold 96.5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Fan.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Here we go. Number one on what's trending. We discussed this a little while ago. Criminal charges being filed against Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Details of the case have not been made public. We do not have any indication of when they will be made public. But we do know that he has been charged with a felony count of strangulation, as well as a misdemeanor charge of assault. The incident occurred back on December 2nd. Right now, a judge is deciding whether to impound the court documents ahead of the arraignment for Stephon Diggs, which is on January 23rd. That is 2 days before the AFC Championship game. That is on a Friday. The Patriots have said that they are aware of the accusations and that Stephon has denied them and that they support Stephon in this situation. They'll continue to gather information and cooperate fully with the authorities and the National Football League as necessary. Number two, unfortunately, we're keeping it in the Diggs family. The Dallas Cowboys have announced that they are releasing two-time Pro Bowl cornerback Trayvon Diggs 1 week before the end of the regular season. He is now going to go through waivers and will be a free agent on the other side if he is not claimed. He's 27 years old. Over the last 2 years, things have rippled in that relationship. One source said the decision to move on from Diggs was due to a, quote, culmination of events, including performance. Lest we forget, after the 2023 season, he signed a five-year, $97 million extension, but has played in just 21 games over the last 2 years. An ACL tear, missed 6 games last year because of a chondral graft issue in the same knee. He missed 8 games this year with an issue in his right knee and a concussion. Rough day for the Diggs family. Man, oh man. Number three, a little bit of NBA news, good and bad. Denver Nuggets superstar, the best player in the NBA, Nikola Jokic, is now about to miss 4 weeks with a knee injury, but kind of a sigh of relief from the Denver Nuggets. There was legitimate fear that he may have seriously injured that knee. Turns out the diagnosis is a hyperextension of the left knee. He will be reevaluated again in 4 weeks. He is also dealing with a bone bruise in that same knee, according to Sham Sharania of ESPN.
I also, I love Twitter doctors. They were all like, oh yeah, that's an ACL right there. He's done for the year. I'm like, guys, it just happened 5 minutes ago. Let's see what the doctors really say. The MRI will tell you the truth.
Jokic in the middle of yet another MVP campaign so far this year. Fifth in the league in scoring, 29.6 points per game, and leads the NBA with 12.2 rebounds a night and 11 assists per night. The only other player in NBA history to average at least 12 rebounds and 11 assists over a full season, the Big O, Oscar Robertson, who did it in 1961-62. And then number four, some NFL-related news once again. The Colts, the Phillip Rivers experiment, short-lived. Indy is moving back to Riley Leonard, the rookie out of Notre Dame, as their starting quarterback for the season finale on Sunday against the Houston Texans. So, started 3 weeks and then he's just poof, gone again?
He got his insurance for the next 5 years. And then he gets to wait 5 more years before he can become a Hall of Famer candidate. So, yeah.
Which he shouldn't be, but I digress.
Who would you rather have? Would you take Eli or
Eli.
Phillip? Okay, I'm glad we're on that one.
Yep. I would rather take Eli, but frankly, I'd rather take neither. I understand this from the Colts' perspective. They brought in Phillip Rivers to try to get them into the postseason, right? That didn't work. They continue to sputter. They've lost 6 in a row. Well, let's go to the rookie again and Riley Leonard. He's had a few weeks to kind of pick the brain of a veteran guy like a Phillip Rivers who's still on the team, right? See where it takes him, because they may need, not may need, they probably will need Riley Leonard for a good chunk of next season as well with the Achilles injury for Daniel Jones. That'll do it for What's Trending. Again, brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. This is a conversation we had earlier in the program, and one that I feel like is an interesting one to revisit. With last night's Monday Night Football game, Falcons upset the Rams. They are now 7-9, meaning the Chiefs could finish anywhere between 8th and 10th overall in the NFL draft, right? So they're going to have a top 10 pick. With a top 10 pick in mind, what position should the Chiefs go? What position, more importantly, I would say, should they absolutely avoid? In my opinion, with the 8th, 9th, or 10th overall pick, you do not take a running back. Not with some of the edge rushers at the top of this draft, not with some of the interior defensive linemen at the top of this draft, not with a tight end like Kenyon Sadiq out of Oregon, not with a potential wide receiver like the Tyson kid from Arizona State or even Carnell Tate from Ohio State. Lo and behold, for some reason, if Caleb Downs was to fall to you in the draft and you have an opportunity to take a safety of that caliber, right, with the likelihood that Brian Cook is probably a free agent when this season is complete, I do not think you can afford running back in this situation. Not for the value of what running backs are looked at in today's day and age of the NFL. There are free agent backs that you can sign this offseason, draft a running back in the middle rounds, and pair, right? The one that I was talking about yesterday, and somebody had brought it up in the text line earlier today, I'm kind of intrigued by the idea of the Chiefs paying like a Kenneth Walker. Like, give Kenneth Walker like 2 years, $18 million. 3 years, $26 million. Draft an Emmett Johnson from Nebraska, or like a Nick Singleton from Penn State in the early third round. And go about the running back room in that way. Because both of those guys, whatever the scenario is, if it's Kenneth Walker and either one of those two running backs, those guys are both improvements over what you've currently got in your running back room. Are any of those guys as talented as Jeremiah Love could potentially be? Probably not. But the value of a top 10 pick needs to go to a position that is held and regarded in big value. And that to me is an edge rusher or a defensive lineman or even, I guess, a wide receiver, I guess. I wouldn't lean towards wide receiver either because I still have faith. I still have belief in Rashi Rice and Xavier Worthy.
So the reason I wouldn't go wide receiver is I thought, and maybe it's because of the small lenses here, but I thought there was a little bit of too much harshness on Worthy this year when I thought Worthy stepped up huge last year when Rice went down. I thought Worthy never really got healthy from the third play on. I thought he still was injured this whole year, and he just never got back into rhythm with Mahomes. And whether you want to agree or not, but I think Worthy will be fine come next year. Rice will have to work on his drops and staying on the field, whether that be because of off-the-field issues or on the field. We got to have him on the field. But I think you have to go defensive front. I don't care if it's interior or edge. I would prefer edge, but I get if you go interior. But you have to get someone that's going to get after the quarterback. The biggest weakness for this team this year on the defense was not getting after the quarterback, because if you get to the quarterback, it makes the quarterback turn the clock a little faster and causes turnovers. Guess what? You didn't get after the quarterback, and you didn't cause turnovers. Those two things do not help you on offense or defense to keep a rhythm going, and that's why I thought this year was quote-unquote a failure, because you couldn't get off the field in crucial time on defense.
Again, this is a conversation that kind of goes back and forth. Somebody in the text line mentions that, you know, Jeremiah Love is the top player on a lot of people's boards, and you're right. You know, ESPN has their rankings right now. Jeremiah Love is the number one player on the board. Okay. I'm not arguing with his talent. And, you know, my problem is running back is not seen as a position of incredible value in today's league. He is an explosive athlete. Somebody says Jeremiah Love is what this Chiefs team needs. He's young and explosive. For him to do what exactly? I mean, they don't run the football. The most carries that a Chiefs running back has had in the last 10 years is Kareem Hunt, his rookie year, with 272. You think they're going to give the ball to Jeremiah Love 270-plus times? I sure as hell don't. I think you need an interior guy. You need an edge rusher. I've seen multiple scenarios where a guy like Peter Woods, who according to ESPN, he's their third-ranked prospect in this class, falls to number 8, falls to number 9, falls to number 10. Love that possibility for the Chiefs. Because he's a guy you can pair alongside Chris Jones next year on the interior of your defensive line. And then after next year, when you have an out in Chris Jones's contract, it's a little easier for you to move on if you've got a guy like Peter Woods on the interior of your D-line. Reuben Bain, I've seen him at 8 or 9 or 10 in some of these, you know, mock drafts. He's the number 4 prospect, according to ESPN's prospect rankings. What about a Caleb Downs? If he somehow slides in this draft and he's sitting there, those guys, I feel like, give greater value to the Chiefs now in the long haul, monetarily and otherwise, at their position groups than Jeremiah Love does. That's just one man's opinion on the matter.
We said this earlier. Yes, you need a running back. Yes, running back was the problem on this offense majority of the year. But we can take a running back in the second or third round and still very reliable with it. We've talked about how a running back has not really made or broke a team being drafted by it. Josh Jacobs, wrong. Saquon Barkley, wrong. I mean, the list goes on and on. We went back and we said Fournette. Leonard Fournette was the last one that really did some damage for a playoff contending team, right? He's been a while. He's not even in the league anymore. So, yeah, a running back is very crucial for an offense, but it's not where you take him in the first round. There's bigger needs on this team that I think you should fill before you take a running back in this draft, especially with the 9th or 10th overall pick.
There are running backs in this free agent class that I think you can look at as starters. Kenneth Walker.
Alvin Kamara, I think.
Alvin Kamara. Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Rico Dowdle.
I mean, think about it. No one wanted Rico Dowdle. He signs with the Panthers, and look what he's done.
Yeah. And I think I don't think he's going to cost you an arm and a leg to bring him in either.
I don't either.
Somebody in the text line brought up Tyler Allgeier with the Falcons, who's still doing good things, and he was doing good things even before Bijan Robinson arrived. Doesn't have a ton of tread on the tires. Can the Chiefs just pay Mizzou a couple million dollars for Ahmad Hardy? Unfortunately, that's not quite how it works. At least not yet. Jeremiah Love is one of the best running back prospects over the last 5 years. Again, how many times do I have to say I am not arguing with Jeremiah Love's talent level? It is absolutely there. It is there. The talent level is there with a Bijan Robinson. It's there with a Saquon Barkley. It's there with a Christian McCaffrey. Running backs don't win Super Bowls.
We've been over this. They don't.
A running back hasn't won a Super Bowl since Terrell Davis with the Denver Broncos. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. And somebody in the text line says, you know, that's an outdated way of thinking. The analytics are trying to tell you, you know, that running backs don't matter. The pendulum is swinging and running backs do, in fact, matter again as the engines of offenses. Yeah, running backs matter. I'm not saying they don't matter. I'm saying that their value is less than other position groups. Running backs don't win Super Bowls. Quarterbacks and defenses win Super Bowls. That's the way it's been for the last 20 years. And until some guy can go, if Christian McCaffrey can just carry the Niners to a Super Bowl this year, I'll change my tune. I don't see it happening. if the Patriots win a Super Bowl, it's going to be because of Drake May and the defense, not Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson. If the Broncos win the Super Bowl, it's going to be because of Bo Nix and the defense and not R.J. Harvey. Bijan Robinson is an incredibly talented player.
If the Rams win the Super Bowl, it's going to be because of Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay's offensive play call.
Bingo. What team in the NFL that is in the playoffs right now can you look at and be like, their running back is going to lead them to a Super Bowl? Probably the only one's the Buffalo Bills. And they still have the reigning MVP at quarterback. Running backs absolutely affect what your team is capable of doing. They don't win Super Bowls. Saquon had 2,000 yards last year. Sure did. What did he do in the Super Bowl? Didn't win him the game. Their defense won them that game. I just don't buy it, man.
It's not going to work.
Defensive line or edge rusher?
You got to do defensive line. My buddy that I called out earlier about the hand,
mm-hmm.
he says edge or wideout round one, get a full free agent running back like Pollard and draft a kid like Coleman from Washington or
I'm
Nick
sorry.
Singleton.
Using a first or second round pick on a wide receiver for the fourth year in a row doesn't make sense to me.
He said David Bailey or Carnell Tate round one would be awesome. I don't know if Tate's there.
I don't think he'll. I don't know, man. I really don't.
I think you go D-line. I don't care if it's interior or edge. You got to go D-line. Don't lose focus of what was the weakness on the defense.
Yep. I lean towards Peter Woods. That would be that's my dream pick.
Okay.
At 8 or 9 is Peter Woods.
Okay.
Okay. If Reuben Bain is there, I'm okay with that. I really am. I'd also, maybe a scenario exists where you trade back.
Yeah.
If the guys you want aren't there and Kenyon Sadiq is sitting there, right? Taking him at 8 or 9 is way too far a reach, in my view. Trade back to somewhere in the late teens, mid-teens, and then take him. Maybe grab another first-round pick to go with it in a later draft. Because this team's going to continue to need draft capital. There's no question about that. For my producer, JT Noah, I'm Logan Weber. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for getting involved in the text line, as always, whether I agree or disagree. Love being able to chat with you guys. This has been Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. Enjoy the New Year's holiday. It's The Drive with CDOT and Rob coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to Plansmore, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.